The kings of Macedonia, the birth of Philip. Now, one of Amestis III's wives, Eurydice, gave birth to Philip in 382 BCE, or perhaps a little earlier, 383 BCE, based on a source saying that he was 46 and another that he was 47 when he died. The discrepancy may be down to different methods of counting, and whether from birth the individual is considered to have been 1 year old is a possibility. To add to the confusion, the Greeks used a number of ways of measuring time, usually based on lunar months, and none of them correspond to modern solar calendar of 12 months, derived as it is from the system introduced by Julius Caesar in 46 BCE. This means that even when a source actually gives us a date for something, it may have occurred late in what would be for us the preceding year. In fact, more often than not, ancient historians and biographers do not bother to go into much detail about someone's birth, unless it happens to coincide with a major event or later becomes surrounded with stories foretelling a great destiny. As a result, we can't be sure in what year Caesar, Cleopatra, or Mark Antony were born, let alone many other less famous figures from the ancient world, since none of our sources simply tell us. None of our sources preserve any stories about Philip's birth or his early childhood. Once again, that's not uncommon, save for a handful of individuals like Alexander and the Emperor Augustus, and in these cases, much is the product of later romantic invention. Lives of women and children rarely occupied the attention of our sources. For Caesar and other aristocratic Romans of his era, we can get some idea of the rituals surrounding childbirth common among their class and paint a generic picture of the event. Similar information on the practices of the Macedonian royal family in the 4th century BCE simply do not exist, or is of little value. Philip is said to have dismissed one of his army officers for taking hot baths, a luxury the Macedonians didn't even permit to women in labor. While we know that Artemis Aurelia, goddess of childbirth, was venerated at the sacred site of Geum, since ritual and sacrifice permeated every aspect of life in the ancient world, especially for the kings of Macedonia, we may safely assume that the birth of a son to Amestis III was marked with due ceremony, at least within the household. In the wider world, few would have paid much attention, for Macedonia lay on the fringes, some would say beyond, the world of the Greeks, and was not a great power or considered an important cultural center. Childbirth was a dangerous time for both mother and infant. Philip's mother had already survived the ordeal at least twice, for she had presented her husband with two other boys, Alexander and Perdiccas. At some point, the couple had a daughter, Erinoe, but it's unclear where she came into the sequence, although she was most likely older than Philip. These four are the children who survived to reach adulthood, and it's quite possible that there were others who did not. Infant mortality rates were shockingly high in the ancient world, while some believe that the heartland of Amestis' kingdom was plagued with malaria-bearing mosquitoes, adding to the risks for all ages. In spite of this, mother and the four children all survived, and they would all outlive her husband. On the death of Amestis III, 370 BCE, by recent standards among the Argarid family, he had lasted a long time and survived threats from all sides, albeit often at the cost of making major concessions to outside powers and leaving his kingdom weak and vulnerable. His death was apparently of natural causes, which was an achievement in itself in the bloody politics of the Argids. Justin, in his Epitome, reports a story claiming that Eurydice plotted to murder her husband. In this version, she was having an affair with her daughter's husband and planned to marry him and make him king in Amestis' place. What was to happen to Erinoe is not explained, but she uncovered the plot and revealed it to her father. Conspiracy fell apart, and the king is supposed to have spared his wife for the sake of their children. But no other source contains this bizarre and implausible anecdote, and is sole evidence of the existence of Philip's sister, Erinoe. Now, Alexander II, Eurydice's eldest son, succeeded to the throne. Philip was about 12 and his brother 18 or more, since it was unlikely that anyone younger would have ruled without a regent. He was certainly active and bold, soon leading an expedition to intervene in a power struggle within Thessaly. Yet Macedonia remained weak, threatened on every side. The Illyrians were once again active, and Alexander II may have bought peace by paying them tribute. In each case, such desperate measures gave no permanent respite, for the aggressor soon returns. Philip may have been sent as a hostage to cement the agreement. Thebes, newly dominant after inflicting a stunning defeat on the Spartans at Electra in 371 BCE, was also active in Thessaly at the same time. and Macedonia could not on its own hope to compete with the major Greek powers. In 369 BCE, the Theban general Pelopidas imposed a peace on Macedonia and the warring city-states of Thessaly, and as part of the agreement, Philip definitely was sent as a hostage to Thebes, along with 30 sons of Macedonian nobles. Now the sources for this, The Politics by Aristotle, The Histories by Herodotus, Histories, 12 volumes, by Diodorus Siculus, Peloponnesian War by Thucydides, and The Lives by Plutarch, Philip and Alexander, Kings and Conquerors by Goldsworthy, History of Macedonia, Volume 1 and Volume 2 by Hammond, In the Shadow of Olympus, The Emergence of Macedonia by Borgia. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.